Hallelujah. It's about fall weather. I love fall, don't you? Amen. Fall's my favorite time of the year. I love it. I guess because I was born in September. Without September, I wouldn't have been born. Praise the Lord. No, I love the fall weather, the cool long shadows, the nights, you know. There's nothing any greater in the world. Of course, you have to grow up like this, to being way back in the woods, sitting on top of the hill, looking through the pines, laying there on your back, listening to all the night animals, making all their noises, laying there, and over in the distance you hear an old blue tick hound tree. You're there with your buddies, and you're laid there and listening. That's called country. To the bone. And you have to be raised like that to enjoy that. But there's nothing any better than that. It's been out there in the woods. You know God's real. You can see Him in every tree, every leaf, every bird, every sound. You know God's real. Amen. That's why Romans 1 says that you know there was a God if you never heard there was a God by looking at creation. Said, and he goes on to say, and therefore they are without excuse. Wow. So I've had questions asked me, what about the person in the jungle who's never heard of God? Well, you go there in that jungle and they're worshiping something. Guarantee you they're worshiping something. So creation and everything, they've designed themselves a God. The Indians called the Great Spirit. And God will honor how they worship and what they worship, whether they knew it or not, on how their heart was toward that God. You know? God's a just God, and He'll do things right. You can count on that. Amen? Well, if you open your Bible with me this morning to St. John chapter 13. Familiar scripture with us. Ordinance in the church. We're going to do that this morning. I better turn. I'm still in Ezekiel. Thank you very much. You didn't know that scripture was in Ezekiel, did you? So that the blessings of the Lord might rest upon your house. You see, I read the Bible, study the Bible for the people. I don't do this stuff for me. I asked God not to give me a pastorate. I didn't want it. Lord, let me do something else. I do not want a pastor. Please, Lord, please, 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 please. So if you think I'm doing this for the money, you ought to have been with me back. I was 41 before I ever got a payday. 41 before I ever got a paycheck. Who in the world would have a business that long without getting paid? You would have closed up shop and went somewhere else real fast because you would have said right off the bat, we're not making any, what? Money. You mean you work for money? You old. What is wrong with you? You'd probably quit if you don't get a raise. A lot of people not here this morning probably because they're working. Then ones that are not, that's not working, they're probably somewhere spending what they worked out. And they accuse the ministers want money. And if I want money, I would not took up pastoring. Thank God I was faithful. God disciplined me, chastised me, rebuked me, shaped me, informed me, did everything He had to do to get me to where I was at for His purpose, and He gave me a people. Yes. He told me a long time ago to be the cream of the crop, and He gave me a people that saw that and blessed me accordingly because they live by the Word. And they appreciate the fact that I teach them the Word. The Bible says I am worthy. You know why it says I'm worthy? Because I labor well in Word and doctrine. And if I have labored anywhere, you understand, I go to school every day. Every single day I have to go to school. And I always hated school. Hated studying. But every single day I go to school and study. I labor constantly in Word and doctrine. So it goes on to say, because of that I'm worthy. Yeah. Worthy of what? Double honor? Double honor? But there's no scripture in the Bible that says anything about the pastor getting honor offered. Uh-oh. You lost again. I don't have a thing in the world to do with this scripture. Where did I say go? John 13. And I'm going to read verse 12. So then, so when he's Jesus here, washed their feet. You ever been to a foot washing? How many been to a foot washing? All of you Baptist or Church of God? Huh? Baptist or Church of God, you been to a foot washing? I've been to a foot washing. I'll tell you, I didn't know what it was and kind of embarrassed about it. Don't be washing my feet. I remember we had the deacons one night out at Candler House Prayer, and I was a deacon at that time. And we were... They decided, one of them decided, all the deacons, there would have a foot washing. I don't want to have no foot washing. Part of a deacon's job, I don't want to. So we decided to have a foot washing. So they, this one brother would start to wash his feet, and all of his toenails were painted red. It's all painted red with red, bright red fingernail polish. What happened? Well, Sunday afternoon, he laid down on the couch and went to sleep, and his wife painted his toenail, and he didn't know it. So he was as shocked as we were. So that foot washing turned into a joy fest. We laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. And there's certain ones that was there. Arnold Vest, he is here, he'd tell you. We laughed and laughed at that brother. So if you go to the foot washing, check your feet before you go. You never know what you're going to get into. But anyway, when Jesus had washed their feet, is that what that said? Washed their feet, taking his garment, and sat down again. And he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? Yeah, you washed my feet. You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. Now, let's back up here to... Verse 3, and see what happened. So Jesus, knowing what the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose up from supper that had and laid aside his garment and took a towel. He took a towel. You could title this sermon, Taking Up the Towel. He took a towel and girded himself. He took his robe off, his clothes off, and just had on his underwear, you know. Jesus and wrapped a towel around him. And after that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Now, he asked them, "Do you know what I did?" "Well, you washed my feet." So he said, "You don't know what I'm doing." "Yeah, I do. You're washing my feet. Now, I understand that you're, humbling yourself and washing my feet." But he said, "You don't understand. But after this, you will understand. You will understand after this. But you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answers him and said, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Wow. "You won't have any part with me, Peter." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Peter, just calm down. First of all, you don't know what's going on. Just settle down and let Jesus do what he's going to do. Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet. If you're clean, if you bathed, you took a bath, you don't need anything except to wash your feet." Now, Jesus is referring to here about being born again. Being born again means you're clean, you've been washed, you're bathed. But Jesus said, even if you've been born again and washed, you still need your feet washed. Even after you're born again, you need your feet washed. So, according to that, if we took that literal, in which some churches have in the past and do to this day, take it literal, then we would wash each other's feet. And that's by having a foot washing. But Jesus said, "It's more to it, Peter, than you see in the natural. This is a metaphor. This is a type, Peter. If you just, only thing you get out of this is washing somebody's feet, you've missed the point. You missed the whole point here." And Jesus said, if you're born again or if you've been clean, then only thing you need from hereafter going on through life, you still need occasionally to have your foot washed. Or your feet. Foot, feet. What do you call them? If it's a foot, why do you call them foots? Be plural. Foots is plural. They call them tooth. Why don't you call them tooth? They call tooth and teeth and foot and feet. Good thing I didn't write the dictionary. Your foot. You got to have your foot washed. No, it's feet. That's conjugate the verb. Nope. You ever conjugate verbs? No. Did I tell you that joke when I was in school? Tell it again. We were in the 7th grade, I think, and we had to conjugate verbs, or what, 5th grade, or whenever you conjugate verbs. And I went to school with a bunch of country rednecks. A lot of them were dumber than me. So they asked this one boy, the teacher did, to conjugate the verb to fly. And he did a great job. He said, "Fly, flew, flibbin." Fly, flew, flibbin. So see where I come from, how the language was fly, flew, flivin. The bird has flivin away. It's flivin off. He who takes a bath needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. Speaking of Judas. For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken up the garment, he sat down again and said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you well say, so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is no greater than his master. Now he begins to explain what just happened with the washing of the feet. Jesus said out of his own mouth, Paul said that he took upon himself the form of a servant. He laid down his heavenly rank, who he was in heaven, and he humbled himself under the mighty hand of God and took upon himself the form of a servant. And so he was demonstrating to the disciples here, said, listen, if I have become a servant to you, then you must go out and become a servant to all. A servant. Now, a lot of people are striving to reach the place of master, of leader, of head man, as teacher, as Lord, whatever. But Jesus begins to demonstrate to them, no, what you have to be is a servant in this life. He said, a servant is no greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sends him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I like to go through the Bible and find out all the scriptures that declares or says I can be blessed. I don't know about you, but I'm into blessing. I like blessing. I want to be blessed. Any way that I can be blessed, I want to be blessed. I used to kind of be, we may call it trying to be humble or what. It's not humility, it's stupidity. That if, I'm just too humble to take that. I'm just too humble for you to do that to me. I'm just too humble to allow that. Nah, that's not being humble. If blessing wants to come, bring it on. Amen. And I was reading one day in the Bible where I was reading about Jacob. He crossed over the brook and went over and wrestled with Jesus all night. And in the morning, Jesus said, turn me loose. Jesus could have got loose anytime he wanted to, believe me. He was seeing what was in that man. He was telling him, Jacob, you won't ever survive and you won't make it, and the blessing has to come down on you, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you will impart that to your 12 sons, and your 12 sons will be a great nation, and I need more out of you than what you've been giving me, and I need you to have more determination and more zeal and more ambition about this thing than you have just tried to manipulate and cheat and do everything you can do to get it. I need something inside of you that wants it more than life. And he wrestled and he said, Lord, I will not turn you loose. I will never turn you loose until you bless me and bless me indeed. And I was reading that and the Lord said, is that your heart? Is that your desire? Is that what you're wrestling for? Well, yeah, but I didn't want to admit I wanted to be blessed. Every human being that's ever lived on this earth wants to be blessed. God puts ambition in the heart of every human being. The disciples came to Jesus one time and said, listen, I want to sit on your right. And one said, I want to sit on your left. They even sent their mama to ask him. Said, you go ask him if we can sit on his right and one on his left. And I read that, and you know, Jesus didn't even rebuke them. He didn't rebuke them for that. He said, that's not up to me. That's up to the Father. But I imagine Jesus had a little grin out of the corner of his mouth, and he was pleased with them having such ambition, desire, and zeal to want to be that close to him. Now, they wanted that as an authority place, as a place of command and all this. And if you've got that, Jesus can work it out and make it right. Paul was doing everything wrong, but he thought he was doing everything right. He had such a zeal for God that he thought these Christians were against the law and against God and against Judaism. And he said, I will not have any cult rise up or any sect rise up that will be against Almighty God. I'll kill them. I'll wipe them off the face of the earth. And he was doing a good job of it. All Paul needed was to be redirected. He needed that zeal, that fire in his gut, that ambition just to be channeled in the right direction. I'd a whole lot rather have somebody who is so zealous and just pushing, and they're wrong, but at least they're fired up. It's hard to push a dead man up a ladder. It's hard to get somebody fired up, then get them right. If they're fired up, you can say, do you really want it? Yes. Do you mean you really? Oh, yes. Well, sit down there and shut up. I'm going to teach you how. Yes, sir. But somebody really don't want it, I say, now sit down there and shut up. They say, I'm not sitting down here and shutting up. Who do you think you are? Yeah. Yeah. Well, you don't want, no, I don't. Who do you think you're telling what to do? You're no better than I am. You know, and then they're gone. Yeah. But the guy who really wants it, you can do any, you can teach him. You make a disciple out of him. But the other, you might well forget it. So Jesus just came and knocked Paul off his horse and said, hey, you're going on the wrong road, bud. And he just turned around immediately. And look what a great disciple and worker for Jesus he made. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So Jesus didn't rebuke him. He just rechanneled it. And he worked on him, saying, the way to the top's at the bottom, boys. If you want to be the greatest among everyone, if you want to be the greatest, you got to be the least. If you want to be the greatest, you got to be the servant of all. So if I want to be great in the kingdom, if I want to be great in the eyes of God, if I want to please God, then I got to be the greatest servant in the whole house. I got to serve better than anybody. That means I got to empty the trash, paint the house, vacuum the floors, clean the bathroom. I got to do everything. And I'll be the greatest. But you got to want something. We're living in a time now in church where God, nobody wants nothing. You can get everything you want from the world. You don't need to trust God. You go borrow the money. You don't need to trust God. You go to the doctor. You don't need to trust God. Why do I need to go to church, sit down, and be quiet for and learn? Why do I need to be rebuked? Why do I need to be taught anything? Well, you don't. You know it all. And Jesus said, you're going to have to be the greatest servant. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now he's talking about Judas. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it comes to pass, you may believe that I am. Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who I sent. How hard is that to understand? But he said, I'll tell you, there's one of you that will betray me. And it bothered Jesus. Now, over in John's Gospel, chapter 15, let's turn over, verse 7. Now, washing of feet is not, I mean, you can do that if you want to do that, but that's not what he's talking about, going out and having a foot washing and getting up and washing the towels and cleaning the pans and all that. That's not what he's talking about. If that's all you get out of that, you've missed it. See, in the Bible, when they would go into a place, the sojourners or the travelers or the guests or whoever, the first thing they did when they walked in the house, they would sit down and you came to them, you took their shoes off and you washed their feet. Because see what happens and what Jesus was saying. Listen, you're already born again. But walking through life, what gets dirty is your feet. Your feet starts picking up things. You start picking up a few bad habits. You start picking up a few choice words or a few attitudes or a few doubt and unbelief or a few little sins. You start picking up things. And he says you have to go back and you have to be washed. Your feet have to be washed again. They have to be cleansed. You're already clean. You've already been born again. But your feet gets dirty in life. That's what that whole scenario is. And you need somebody sometimes to help you get clean. You need to go back to church. And you need to hear the word preached. And you need to be challenged. And even if you reprove, rebuke, and exhort to where you'll say, yes, I got a little dirty. My feet's got a little dirty. I need to be clean. I need help. The Bible said we help one another. You remember when that little woman went into Jesus and she washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair? Now, if you study that, I used to think, how in the world? That lady must have really been crying. If she got enough water by crying to wash his feet. Did you ever think of that? That's the way I think. That's a lot of tears. But if you study it, they had a thing, I found this in the Jewish teaching, at that the families or relatives even mentions this in the book of Revelation about a vial of tears. You remember it's stored under the altar of God? Well, they had a thing, a bottle, where they stored up tears, where someone would die in the family and they would grieve and they would catch some of those tears and they would put it in a bottle. Of the family from generations. All down through the family and all down through the line, wherever sorrow, hurt, disappointment, pain, regrets, brokenness, brokenhearted, all of this was put in that little vial. So she walked in there with Jesus and said, I'm bringing you every one of our hurts, all of our disappointments, all of my brokenness, all my family's brokenness, all of my family's wounds, all of my family's regrets. I'm bringing it all, and I'm washing your feet with our tears. It was more than just the water out of her eyes. It was she brought it all. My past is being poured out at your feet. It's all gone. I'm pouring it out. All of that my mama had, and all of that my grandmama had, and all of that we all had. All the hurt and pain and sorrow she brought in there that day, and she poured it on Jesus' feet, and her tears fell down, and she washed his feet. Wow. There's a lot to that. That's what we need. Without that, we won't make it. Amen? We need each other. I need you to help me get the dirt off of me. I need you to help me stay clean. I need you to help me with what I picked up. Bible said that we should encourage one another, help one another, exhort one another, comfort one another. You know how much you need each other? 15 says this. I am the vine, verse 5. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them in the fire. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. But by this the Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciple. As the Father loved me, I also love you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Now, we're talking about what they did, washing the feet, and Jesus used it as an example, as a metaphor, or something that would go from generation to generation to generation for the disciples. See, Jesus got down and washed their feet because he loved them so much. Jesus said, I love you so much that I'm willing to become a servant to help you, Peter, stay clean. And without love, you see, in every human being, all of us have a great yearning within us to be loved. That's all any of us want. It's just to be loved. It's to be accepted. It's to be loved. Somebody to understand us, just to care for. We just want to be loved. That's all. And without love, there's an absolute void in our life. And without love, there is brokenness, there's hurt. It begins to retard our heart if we're not loved properly. Did you know that? You can take a stray dog. I've done this. Take a dog, you pick up and be mean and afraid of people and run and all this, bite you. And you begin to show that thing love and you'll change his whole personality. That's why people come to church, you know. And they'll have everything hanging off of them. They'll dress all kind of ways. Leave them alone. Just love them, teach them the word, and watch them clean up. They'll clean up. They start feeling better about themselves. They start feeling good about themselves. Why does the Bible say that love people the way you love yourself? You have to first love yourself. Bitter people are bitter. Unloving people don't love. That's why we have to love ourselves. How can you love yourself? You can't until you let Jesus love you. You have to love yourself in Jesus. There's not anything worthy of you to be loved, but Jesus loves you so much that he died for you, gave himself for you, and loves you. And if you'll start understanding that and allowing him to love you, you'll begin to think you're important. And you'll start feeling good about yourself. Then you'll start keeping his commandments. And he said, how do I know you're keeping my commandments? Is you love people. You love people. He said, this is the fruit. Fruit. There's one fruit in the kingdom. One. That's love. That's the tree. Now on that tree, it bears joy, kindness, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. That comes after love. If you don't love, you're not going to be kind. If you don't love, you're not going to have joy. You won't have peace. You won't be long-suffering. If you love, if I love you, I'll tolerate you. Do you know I tolerate a lot? Sometimes a lot of people, and some people say, why don't you do this and with this and why is this and why is this? And I say, well, you know, it's hard to explain the pastor's heart for a sheep. I can't help it if I love them and willing to put up with them, to be long-suffering toward them. Some people I just like to bonk, knock in the head and be done with. But my heart won't let me. You understand? Jesus gave shepherds to the people to love them. If I love you, I'll tell you the truth. At the expense of you not loving me. Love. There's a lot of this stuff they call love, not love, is not love. Tolerance is not love. People say, well, you know, God loves, so he just tolerant. No. Forget that stuff. I'm not going to be tolerant. If you want to go sit on a railroad track and say, I'm going to commit suicide, the train comes at 4 o'clock, and when it comes, I'm going to kill myself. And I have a right to sit here, and you have a right to accept my sitting here. And you have to accept me for what I am or what I want to do. And you have to be tolerant toward me and accepting toward me. And if you love me, then you'll accept me and let me sit here. I say, you about full of it. I'm going to get you off that railroad track. No, you're not. I said, yes, I am. And all your little loving friends walk by and say, we love them. He has that right. And I say, well, if I have to take a big, long stick and knock you in the head and hurt you real bad and knock you out, I'm going to do my best to save your life. That's called love. Then you wake up and say, I hate your guts. Why didn't you let me die? You don't love me. If you love me, you wouldn't have said that. If you love me, you wouldn't have hurt me. If you love me, you wouldn't have hit me in the head. No, it's because I love you, you knothead. Amen. See, knothead, he got a knot on his head now. I'm not going to let you get run over by a train. Maybe you'll change your mind. That's the same thing if we sit back and let people go to hell. And don't try our best to warn them, to save them, to get them off the track. Well, you know, we just have to be tolerant. No, you be tolerant. I don't want them to go to hell. I don't want them to lose. I don't want them to wind up in a mess. I want to tell them everything I can tell them. Say it any way I can say it. Maybe a light will come on somehow or another and bang, you know. That's love. I've had people say, well, there's no love in that church. You know what they say in love is? Stroking my emotions. That's not love, stroking your emotions. When you got a bad attitude and everything you're doing is hurting your walk with the Lord and hurting yourself and you're just killing yourself. That's not love. Well, if you love me, you'd be stroke my emotions. I'm not stroking your emotions. Forget it. My job is trying to teach you the Word of God and make you strong to where you can go through life beating the devil up. He'll stroke your emotions for you. Are you out there? Don't miss what love is. You mistake love for a emotional stroke. Praise the Lord. What am I going to read next? Colossians. Are you out there? Is this good? I'm washing your feet. Right now is what I'm doing. This is called a foot washing. Helping you get the dirt off of you. Amen. Helping you get the dirt off your feet. Colossians 3. I'm going to read verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God. Did you know you've been elected? The elect of God. Chapter 3, verse 12. Holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Put it on. You know how you put on? You know how I put this coat on? I made a conscious effort to go into my closet and look and see what I want to put on today. Well, I'm going to pray and the Spirit here for a while and see if the Lord wants me to put this on. I don't know if I want to be kind to you or not. I'm going to pray to see if the Lord wants me to be gentle and kind to you. The Lord says, put it on. I made a conscious effort. This is what I'm going to put on. See, the Lord told you how to dress spiritually. Not be rude, all these things. Therefore, elect of God, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, why don't you forgive them? Why don't you just forgive them? You're forgiven a lot. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, of maturity, which is a sign of maturity. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace of God in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God your Father. Put on more love. Just put love on. 1 John chapter 3, and we'll wind it up here. You don't have to be scared. I'm not going too long. See, all these things are written for our admonition, that we would grow up into God. See, when you stand before the Lord, I know this, by studying the Word. Now, don't you sit there and think, well, you know all the Bible, and I know this by studying diligently all the time, these things. One day, you will stand before the Lord. You will give an account of the works done in your body. That work done in your body is one word, love. Everything you do, you'll do out of either what yourself wanted to do, when you wanted to do it, and how you wanted to do it, or you will do it out of the love that Jesus Christ has put in your heart through the Holy Ghost. He has put that love in you. There's one thing you'll be judged for, bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. Did you grow up? Were you mature? Did you overcome? Were you a light? Were you salt? Did you love? Did you grow in the perfection of love? Were you mature? I know that. You'll stand there. My responsibility with everything in me, I will stand before God. And he said, did you teach those people? Did you teach them what to do? Did you tell them what my word says? Did you tell them how to grow up? Did you tell them the importance of love? Did you tell them the best of my ability, God? He said, did you study the word daily, rightly dividing the word to seek out to teach the people the best of my ability, Lord? I fail so miserably in areas. I fail bad sometimes, Lord. But see, first I've got to grow up. First I have to be mature. I won't tell you anything, teach you anything, or let anything happen in here that's not the word of God, including honor offering. Don't you ever accuse me of being in this for the money. Don't you ever do that. You don't know me. I don't care how long you've known me. You don't know me. That is not my heart. Keep your stinking money. I don't want it anyway. Don't want nothing you do for me. Don't even act like you're my friend. Don't even act like it. Don't even act like you. Why you come here? That's true. I don't understand it. Why do you come here? You said, well, it's my church. No, it's not your church. It is not your church. No. Who was that masked man? That was a long ranger. He came through. Spirit got on me, the Lone Ranger spirit. Where did I say go? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. What manner of love the Father has put on us that we should be called the Son of God. Wow, what manner of love. Hallelujah. Chapter 4. Beloved, that's talking about you. Do not believe every spirit. Whatever. Do not believe every spirit, but you test the spirits, see whether they're of God. For many false prophets have gone out. What these prophets, false prophets do, they try to manipulate you, try to con you, especially for money. If you read Peter and Jude, it's about money. That's what they do. So I'm not a false prophet. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is of Antichrist. You are of God, little children, and have overcome, because he who is in you is greater than he is in the world. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one who loves is born again. Everyone who loves is born again. And God know, and born of God and know God. Everyone who walks in love toward each other know God. They know God. And people who do not walk in love do not know God. Well, how do you? I don't want to stand before God and God said, "You never knew me, did you? You never knew me. All those years, and you never knew me. You did not get my first commandment. You never did develop in the first thing I told you to develop in. One thing I told you to do is love." Well, Lord, I thought I was loving. We need to check our love by the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 8. We love. It's in our heart. It's in our heart. If we're born again, love's in here. It's in there. You have love on the inside of you. You don't have to try to get it. You've got it. Whether or not you walked in that is a different story. Can you see that? I have a choice every day to walk in the love of God, the commandment of God, or not. You understand? A choice every day. Now, you have to understand love. But some people who don't understand love and don't know God, they want a list of things that they have to do to love and a list of things they can do. It's not about a list. Love needs no direction, or love needs no diagram. Love is love. It's a heart matter. Amen. And this, the love of God, was manifest toward us, that he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been matured in us, and therefore you can see God. How else are we going to see God? Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How else are you going to know God? How else are you going to see God unless you see that through people who love you? What turned me around, we'll close. What turned me around, and what I've talked a lot of it, what turned them around was not preaching. Preaching didn't turn me around. People witnessing me didn't turn me around. Well, when people started loving me, I didn't know how to respond to that. I knew I was going to hell, so if you told me I was going to hell, I'd agree with you. Yeah, I'm going to hell. Well, you're a dirty, rotten, low-down sinner. Well, I have to agree with you. You ought to straighten up. There's no sense of you doing these things. Look what you're doing to your family. Look what you're doing to yourself. I'd have to agree with you. I don't know how to change or didn't know all that. But when love came, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to respond. And it brought me to Jesus. The goodness of God leads to repentance. It leads you to repentance. We all just want to be loved. Well, that's my number one thing, Pastor. I just want somebody to love me. Well, I'm talking about you loving people this morning. That's what I'm talking about. I'm washing your feet. I'm washing your feet a little bit, you know. Getting a little of that dirt off. Well, it's too hard to love people. Yeah, I know it. Well, it costs too much. Yeah, I know it. It costs money to love people. It's a love thing, my brother and sister. Stand up. It's a love thing. Amen? You know one thing I know more than anything else I know in this whole world that I know? I know Jesus loves me. I know that. And when I fail him, it hurts me. Amen? I do what he called me to do. When I first started pastoring and ministering, I didn't love people. I loved Jesus. I loved Jesus. And I was doing everything I did for Jesus. And you want me to preach to the people? I will. You want me to minister to them? I will, because I love you. I will love them. But then he began to deal with me. If you love me, love them. Now, wait a minute, Lord. It's easy to love you. But he said, if you love me, love them. Okay, for you. See, that's why you'll have a perfect marriage, as perfect as it can be on this earth, if you love Jesus more than you love the person you married to. You have to. Because if you love Jesus, you will not talk to the person that you're married to the way you talk to it, because he says not do that. You won't sin again. You won't do all these things against them and all that. Love is not rude. Love is kind. Love is so you won't do all that because you love Jesus. And so the wife loves Jesus more, and the husband loves Jesus more, and everything we do, we're doing for Jesus. And that next thing you know, you're loving each other because you love Jesus so much. And if you're trying to love each other without loving Jesus more, it won't work. It just flat won't work. You don't talk to your wife like that because Jesus told you not to. He told me not to. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Father, we bless you this morning. Our whole desire is to please you. Everything we do to please you, Lord. I just want to please you. You love me so much. You put love in my heart. And you told us to love each other. We're washing each other's feet, Lord. We're just loving one another. Caring for one another. Blessing one another. Helping one another. Being kind to one another, doing everything you told us to do, Lord. We thank you, Father. Our old feet gets dirty walking through this land. Yeah, we got to come back and have them washed. Got to have them cleansed. Got to get all the junk off of them. Thank you, Lord, for a good foot washing this morning. Admonishing us to love one another. You told me to do that. You told me to admonish the people to love one another. And we do that, Lord, because we love you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Wasn't that good preaching? Thank you. Oh, I got something on my computer. It's a menu. I appreciate that applause. I'll give it away. I can get it. So praise the Lord. Penny's going to make an announcement.